The News Watch never stops. WTIC News Talk 1080 is your news authority. 24-7, 365. WTIC. WTIC HD Hartford. A CBS radio station.
It's 7 o'clock, 56 degrees in Hartford. I'm Chris Francis, WTIC 1080.
This is WTIC FM HD2 Hartford, a simulcast of WTIC News Talk 1080.
Coming up, the governor's budget office opens talks with legislative caucuses on closing the state budget shortfall. Though he did not give specifics in what he called his roadmap to balancing the budget, it does include cuts in human service programs.
Budgets are compromises, in those compromises, more money was put into the budget than I recommended. And money was spent in areas that I did not recommend.
Governor Malloy says 30 other states are facing shortfalls, and it's clear cuts have to be made. Former Manchester Fire Chief Paul Letrico is under arrest on charges of larceny and false entry by a public official. Letrico is accused of submitting a letter falsely certifying that 17 members of his department qualified for a property tax abatement. The town is seeking refunds from the firefighters who were ineligible for the tax break. Letrico turned himself in today and is due in court January 8th. A bipartisan group of House members says any budget deal to avert that so-called fiscal cliff of automatic tax hikes and spending cuts should include substantial defense savings. 22 lawmakers, 11 from each party, have sent a letter to the White House and congressional leaders noting that organizations of various political stances have backed cuts of $550 billion. In his final days in office, Senator Joe Lieberman is weighing in on the fiscal cliff.
I've come into this session, this final post-election session, thinking that the odds were that we would avoid the fiscal cliff. But, you know, there's only 3 weeks left till the end of the year. And we haven't done it, made any real progress that most of us can see yet.
The Democrat turned independent nearing the end of a 24-year career on Capitol Hill says he still holds out hope for a resolution. Meantime, Lieberman says he's using leftover campaign funds to create the Lieberman Connecticut Scholarship Program with grants of $1,500 for up to 5 high school students a year.
I hope the first group of scholarship recipients can be announced at a public event in June of 2013 where I can congratulate them and once again say thank you, Connecticut.
Lieberman says after leaving office, he'll seek contributions to the scholarship fund with the goal of bringing the total to more than $1 million. As shipping cartons, shopping bags, and wrapping paper pile up at Connecticut homes during the holiday season, Connecticut Resources Recovery Authority reminds us that most of the excess material can go in the recycling bin. That goes for most greeting cards, too.
If they don't have a plastic or a thick foil coating on them, if they don't have one of those little microchips that plays music or records voices or something, those can go in the recycling bin.
CRRA's Paul Nonnenmacher says unless it has foil or plastic, wrapping paper can be recycled, as can most catalogs and shipping cartons. He suggests reusing bubble wrap, and as for those flyaway plastic foam peanuts, there are 8 places in Connecticut that accept them for recycling. Learn more on our website at WTIC.com. Wall Street today, the Dow gained 15 points. The NASDAQ picked up 9. WTIC News Time, 7:04.
This evening in the first part of tonight.
Getting gifts for the sports fan in your life has never been easier this holiday season thanks to CBS Local's Fan Shop. We've got the jerseys and gear for almost every team in any sport. And if you visit CBS Local's Fan Shop today through the end of the year and enter the promo code HOLIDAY10, you'll get an additional 10% off your purchase. Visit CBSLocalFanShop.com today and use the promo code HOLIDAY10 to save even more from CBS Local's Fan Shop.
From the WTIC 24-hour traffic network, watch for delays in Hartford 84 westbound between exits 48 and 47 because of an earlier accident. Now the forecast, meteorologist Steve Chaperone.
This evening and the first part of tonight, we'll have some mist, drizzle, and showers around with areas of fog, and temperatures will be mild with readings in many places in the 50s. Then late tonight, expect the showers to end and temperatures will drop into the lower 40s. Tomorrow, any remaining clouds will give way to mostly sunny and somewhat breezy conditions. Winds will be northwest at 10 to 20 miles an hour, and temperatures will be in the low and mid 40s. For Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, expect the sunny and generally seasonable weather to continue, with highs between 42 and 48. I'm meteorologist Steve Schiprona, WTIC News Talk 1080.
And the Hartford temperature, 56 degrees at 7:05. I'm Chris Francis, WTIC 1080 News.
WTIC News Talk 1080 remembers our friend and colleague, Arnold Dean.
The golf belongs to you.
I got very close to that game, and that's the one thing that even when I retired, Steve Salhaney and everybody here, they all said, we hope you're going to be around for the golf coverage.
Well, you better be.
Yeah, and I said, well, as long as Joe's there to do the heavy lifting.
Yeah.
You know? I don't look any different, though. You know, I lost a few follicles of hair, and you still look like you're...
And gained a couple follicles of pounds.
You still look like you're 73, you know, like a day over. Now the face-off.
Next complete forecast from the Travelers Weather Service will be heard on WTIC at 12:10 this afternoon. Right now, it's 10 minutes past 11.
Seattle never could get the time right. It's 7:06 on a Monday night. We are here paying tribute to Arnold Dean along with Scott Gray and Bill Pierce and Bob Joyce. I'm Joe D'Ambrosio, and it would not be a tribute to Arnold Dean if we did not bring in the legend who is D. Rowe, who was UConn's coach, came in as coach in 69-70, and Arnold had been here for 4 years already. He did some of the games. Coach, thank you for joining us all on what's a special night as we pay tribute to a guy I know you considered a very close friend.
Joey, he was a dear friend. I'm shocked by this. I sat with him at a dinner at University of Hartford next to him at the dinner recently that honored Pat Meiser, and I'm absolutely shaken by it. This was a dear and trusted friend and confidant. Special, special guy. You know, Joey, he's a guy that was beloved by everybody who touched his life, quite honestly.
You know, D, this is Scott. I was at that dinner that you were talking about. And, you know, I had a long conversation with you afterward. I had a long conversation. Arnold and I went out and spent about an hour together after the dinner. And what always amazed me was each of you, all you wanted to do was talk about each other. Arnold telling me what a classy gentleman you were, what a class act you were, and you telling me the same thing about Arnold, and you know, just the mutual respect that the two of you had. You could just tell the years that existed between the two of you.
Quite honestly, Scott, you know, I think I've known him for maybe, I've been here 43, 44 years, and he was always there for us. You know, he held my hand in one of my toughest times, and he never let it go. He was always there, and I will cherish that special bond that we had, and never forget how much he's meant to me, to the university, and to our profession.
Dee, it's Bob Joyce. How did you two actually meet for the first time? Was it in stores? I mean, I'm guessing it was in stores with the fact that TIC aired the UConn games.
I gotta believe it, Bob. I don't remember, but it's like I came from a city with a lot of Italian people, and in fact, when I went to grammar school, I think I might have been the only non-Italian there. I'd come in to lunch, have a peanut butter and jelly, and everybody else would have a big grinder. So, I guess I fell in love with him at an early day, and with a great trust, great admiration, great respect, and the tributes that are being paid to Arnold is so richly deserved.
You know, Dee, I think the thing that I find in common with both you and Arnold is the way that you treat people. Now, for you, I'm not referring to officials, but you both have such a gentle way, and there's no one who is too small or not in your scheme of things for you to talk with. And Arnold was the exact same way.
I'm most appreciative of those kind words. You know, he came into our lives really at a very difficult time. Was the time of everybody was anti-God, mother, and country, and the civil rights things were going heavily, and there weren't many people very happy about anything. And Arnold always reached out. Every day he reached out to touch someone's hand and to make the world a better place. And you know, the thing that always jumps out at me, he never thought with all he's done, like all that's been said and done about him on radio, television, and in the print media, he would never believe all this because he never thought he was bigger than the game. He never thought he was bigger than anybody. He was a humble giant, and I'll just never forget what he meant to all of us and the way he did it. You know, there's a book that was given to me once from a good friend, and it was the book said, The Power of Nice. And Arnold led the league in the power of nice, for which I and everyone that touched his life will be grateful.
You know, Dee, when you talk about Arnold like that, I got to tell a little story. Every time I go to a dinner that you're at and you're speaking, somebody always gets up and says, I was asked to speak tonight and I was told that D. Rowe was going to be on the docket. And I said, you're not putting me on after D. Rowe, are you? Because you were such a tough act to follow. But, you know, when I think about it over the years and all the dinners that I've been to, two guys that I've listened to who are probably the consistently best after-dinner speakers that I've ever heard, you and Arnold Dean. You guys would have had to have, I don't know, maybe a steel cage wrestling match to determine who would go on first and who would go on last?
No, I tell you what, we would want a tie. We'd definitely want a tie. You know, the great thing about his love, in all honesty, it was always with a smile, you know, and a chuckle. And somehow there'd always be blue skies and sunshine. And we'd get to the big bands, but he was such an incredible person with an incredible passion and a love affair with our games and the people that played and coached and cared. And our games have changed, and our world has changed so dramatically. And yet Arnold was always the guy that was all about good and right and the special things about and the lessons of life captured by our games.
Beautifully said, as always. Coach, we appreciate so much you taking the time to join all of us here tonight, all with at least one thing in common, and that's we're friends of Arnold Dean, and we're lucky to have known him, much like all of us are lucky to be part of your world. So thank you, Donald. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, guys. And he was a guy that was beloved and will never be forgotten. There would only be one.
That's right. Thank you, Dee. Dee Rowe, you know, legendary ex-coach at UConn.
There will be two.
Right, there's D. And
because, and I say this to my wife all the time, there's only one person in the whole world who doesn't understand the importance of his position in the Connecticut sports world, and as an ambassador for the state and the University of Connecticut, and that's D. Rowe. He's the only person who
right.
doesn't understand it.
And the great thing about Arnold, and we all appreciate this, Arnold had so many roasts done for him.
Oh, yeah.
He should have been overbaked. He had more watches than Rolex. All right, we're going to take a break at 7:14. University of Hartford AD Pat Meiser joins us next on this special tribute to the Dean on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Getting gifts for the sports fan in your life has never been easier this holiday season thanks to CBS Local's Fan Shop. We've got the jerseys and gear for almost every team in any sport. And if you visit CBS Local's Fan Shop today through the end of the year and enter the promo code HOLIDAY10, you'll get an additional 10% off your purchase. Visit CBSLocalFanShop.com today and use the promo code HOLIDAY10 to save even more from CBS Local's Fan Shop.
Guys, you've heard about Ageless Male, the natural supplement that helps boost testosterone levels within normal, healthy ranges. But now, the best testosterone product is even better. New and improved Ageless Male can help you feel more like you used to in your active life and in your romantic life. Because our upgraded formula has been clinically shown to increase your drive, desire, and performance. That's right, guys. Ageless Male has been clinically shown to boost performance. Cancel your plans this weekend. You're staying in. If you're ready to recapture the drive from your youth, now is the time to try Ageless Male because it's available risk-free. But you must call now. Just call 1-800-249-1889. Be the guy you used to be. Just call 1-800-249-1889. 1-800-249-1889. 1-800-249-1889.
Do you have student loans and are worried about making your payments? Stop worrying. Now Direct Student Aid can help if you are behind, if you are late, or even if you are in default on your student loans, we can help cut your payments fast. We provide student loan relief, getting you relief from your student loans right away. We will stop any harassing phone calls, stop any wage garnishments, and even remove any tax liens. No matter how much you owe or how far behind you are with payments, call our established Direct Student Aid toll-free assistance line right now. We can fix your student loan problems guaranteed. That's right, we guarantee we will get your student loan out of default and cut your payments right away. We have helped thousands of people just like you fix their student loans. Best of all, it's 100% guaranteed. Don't go another day with your loans behind or in default. Our specialists are waiting for your call. Call 800-395-5576. That's 800-395-5576. Again, call 800-395-5576. That's 800-395-5576.
The heroics of Mike Liute are indescribable, but the miracles finally ran out, and the Hartford Whalers have finally been eliminated in this best of all seasons. And who would have guessed back in February that not only would they go into the second series of the Stanley Cup, into the quarterfinals for the Stanley Cup and the championship of the Adams Division, and forced the Montreal Canadiens into overtime before one goal finally decided it. They played each other for 905 minutes about this season, Chuck, and come up with an overtime goal as the only difference between them. And these are two of the younger teams in the National Hockey League, and I think it bodes well for the future of this division, for the hockey franchises of Montreal, and most especially for the franchise of the Hartford Whalers, who've done themselves so proud.
Arnold Dean wrapping up that memorable 1986 playoff series with Montreal as he broadcast along with Chuck Caton from the Montreal Forum. It's 7:17, a special night as we pay tribute to the great man, Jody Ambrosio, Bill Pierce, Scott Gray, Bob Joyce. Arnold was a trailblazer in this market. He was the first person to do sports talk. And our next guest, a bit of a trailblazer as well, the first women's college athletic director in our area, and she is still going strong, our friend Pat Miser from the University of Hartford. And Pat, thank you for taking the time to join us. And I know Arnold was a great friend of yours and a great friend of the university.
He absolutely was. And like everyone else, we will miss him. So I believe Scott already mentioned, as did Dero, that we were all together, I guess that was about 2 weeks ago, and it was wonderful to see him and have him be a part of our Tip-A-Hawk, our women's basketball celebration. And he looked great. He was his usual outstanding self with that twinkle in his eye and his great, easy smile. And I go back to my early days with John Toner and Dee and Timmy Tolikin, and came on board at UConn, and Arnold's name was a name that was very prominent in that mix down there, and so it was exciting for me as a young athletic administrator to have an opportunity to meet this outstanding gentleman. And he's been a part of my life since then, and sensed great sincerity in his celebration of my career, particularly as a woman, because I don't know how many women that he actually interacted with in the position. It seemed like a pretty male-dominated area, but he was more of a gentleman than anyone could ever imagine. And I used to hop in the car and go visit my parents back in Pennsylvania, and if it was late enough at night, I could catch WTIC down there on the Pennsylvania Turnpike, and it was especially heartwarming to hear his voice.
You know, I always did wonder, Pat, when you came here from Penn State and really a very sports-intensive environment at Penn State, and you come to a place like Connecticut where that environment is just starting to build, and all of a sudden you're confronted with what really had to be kind of something unique in the sports media, a man like Arnold Dean.
Well, he was just such an incredible gentleman with a style that, quite frankly, will always be Arnold Dean and only Arnold Dean's style. One of the things that I think often about is when special loved ones pass is that they stay right with you. They sit on your shoulder. And I know that Arnold Dean is certainly going to be sitting on the shoulders of all three of you in the days ahead. And he sits on my shoulder as just a wonderful voice, a very patient, caring man.
You know, I just want to point out, Pat, Arnold was retired, and to a lot of people, you know, they kind of think of someone who's retired in the rear view, in retrospective. But to you, it was always important that Arnold remain a part of the here and now. And, you know, for instance, you went out of your way to invite him to be at the women's basketball dinner last month.
Oh, yes. He was my special guest because he's a special guy and just such a powerful figure, welcomed anywhere, anytime, and really celebrated. So I'm so happy that you all in WTIC are taking the time to honor his career and his legacy because, quite frankly, as a young woman moving into this community, Arnold Dean was this community for years in the sports world, and that was one of the very first things I learned, that not only who he was, but why he was so powerful, just for being Arnold.
And you know, the great thing that we tell people, and you know this better as well as anybody, Pat, is that the way that Arnold was on the air was exactly the way that he was off the air. He was kind. He was caring. He had a moment for everybody, and he just loved communicating with people.
Absolutely. And certain personalities mold their organizations, mold their communities, and Arnold has certainly been one of those, a true, true gentleman to so many people, publicly and very privately. I remember when I became the athletic director at the University of Hartford, he invited me into the studio, and my youngest son, Danny, needed to go with me. Well, you would have thought I brought, you know, just this wonderful young boy. And so never after that did I spend time with Arnold when he didn't say, "How's Danny doing?"
Yep.
And I know his love for his family was so powerful, and our hearts go out to them. But we know that his gift of his legacy and his life will be with them forever and for all of us.
And that's what makes him so special. Pat, thank you for the time. Great remembrances of a great man. I know we talked about how much he loved talking to you and visiting with you, and how much he respected what you've done and what you'll continue to do at UHA. Thanks for being with us tonight. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
It's Pat Miser, the athletic director at the University of Hartford. You know, we have the image, obviously, over the past 22 years at least, of being the UConn station, but you're a Central guy.
Yep.
You know, Central and Hartford. I talked to Tom Moore before his game on Saturday. He was heartbroken about hearing the news. His ability to transcend all of that is what made him particularly adept at what he did.
He really did, and I can remember when I was going to Central many, many years ago, when I did get the opportunity to go to a basketball game, and the person who was on the PA system at the gym those nights was Arnold Dean. And all I knew about Arnold was obviously the work he had done, like everybody else. I never thought that I would have the opportunity to work with him. And certainly when that opportunity presented itself, he made me feel very welcome at this radio station. And in fact, it was maybe about 2 months after I came here, the station was celebrating its 60th anniversary. Everybody's going to the big party, so I'm the new guy on the block. Who gets to do sports talk for the first time was me, and I was nervous as all get out being put in that situation. And Arnold was so encouraging, and you know, you talk to Arnold about what to do, and he really built me up and got my confidence up to go into that show, and things went just fine. And you know, that's the kind of guy he was. And we all came from other outlets to come to this radio station, and I think all of us had the same experience when we came here, is the way that Arnold welcomed us and kind of helped us along and helped in the adjustment, because obviously when you're going from one job to another, one outlet to another, it can be a difficult transition, just, you know, working your way in to get used to working with some people you haven't worked with before. And Arnold made that transition or helped make that transition very easy.
Yeah, right. And then the first time I filled in for Sports Talk, in fact, I think I filled in for you on a Friday night. But Arnold, in fact, you even called me that night.
Yeah, let's not go into that.
Yeah, I know.
That's
I know.
You had
I
to use the dumb button too, didn't you?
No, actually, I did not. But yeah, the same
if
way.
If I had used the dumb button, my life would have been better.
We've all
been
there.
But the very calming influence that he was, he always encouraged you. I mean, the first thing I did on air here at TIC when I worked nights after working mornings for a couple of years, but when Arnold went back, was his producer, and I would work late in the night, and the first thing I did on air was the sports in the 11 o'clock news when it was an expanded newscast. And Arnold would always, I'd always give Arnold the tapes of the cast, and he would always go over them with me and, do this as opposed to do that. And you just learned an awful lot from him, as much a friend as he is to all of us. We mentioned it, he's a mentor. He's like a father figure,
exactly.
An uncle, your grandfather, for the younger guys that have worked here. And then there's countless producers we've heard from that have said stuff on social media, particularly, Durwood, Big Game James DiGiuseppe, who's now up in Boston, guys like that. They all worked under Arnold at some point during their careers and, cut their teeth with Arnold.
And the thing was, you could talk to Arnold. You mentioned being almost like a father figure. You could talk to him about things outside of broadcast, and he would sit and listen to help you through whatever problem you were having. Mm-hmm.
We were reminiscing earlier about one of our most enjoyable times as a group was spending time at the golf, you guys at Weathersfield, and then when I came aboard in Cromwell, and someone who Arnold just enjoyed being around and being with, our friend Ted May, who was such an integral part of the transition and the continuance of the tradition. And Ted takes the time to join us now. And Ted, thanks for being with us. And certainly you got a chance to see firsthand just how much Arnold enjoyed being a part of the PGA Tour scene here in Hartford.
Well, thank you, guys, and thank you for such a wonderful tribute. And I also had a chance to see Arnold enjoy so much time with all of you at the golf tournament, and I know that was special for all of you.
He really liked the byplay, not just with the golfers, but also with people like yourself, people who worked at the event. And that's kind of the basic instinct of just what a person Arnold was.
Well, Joe, I think, it was interesting what Pat just said, but I think for those of us who were involved in the tournament, especially, and part of the community, Arnold made us feel proud to be part of Hartford, proud to be part of Connecticut sports, especially at the PGA Tour level.
Ted, Scott Gray, one of the things that has always stood out in my mind was the year that Arnold announced that this was going to be his final Travelers Championship. That was in 2009. The tribute that the tournament, Travelers, the JCs, everybody paid to Arnold Dean that year. Just the genuine outflowing of emotion from everybody involved in the tournament. I will never, ever get over that.
Well, thank you, Scott. That was very special. And, it was also special to have Arnold come back. I mean, last year he came out with his grandson and, was outside the ropes, but it was great to see him back and to have him enjoy the tournament at that level, too.
And there was no week, and you know this, Ted, there was no week that we all liked getting better together than GHO or Travelers Week, because it meant our little radio family of sports people got to spend time together, and not just because we were together as a group, but because we were at an event that we all enjoyed covering so much.
Thank you. And, of course, Chuck was a part of that, too. I don't know how you all felt about him, saying that he broke 90. I find that.
Yeah, that's a little.
We're still chewing on that one, Ted. Chuck on seven. He just broke 90 on seven.
we had great fun with Arnold when we did the shootouts over the years after we moved to TPC. Arnold would be the MC for our shootouts, and we'd have 10 of the top players in the world play the back nine, and Arnold would do the announcing, and, we had Fuzzy Zeller and Lee Trevino and Payne Stewart, and, the list goes on. And each year, those guys would come back, and they'd say, they walk up to the tournament, they'd see Arnold and say, "Arnold, how you doing?" They all remembered him, and, of course, they used to call in sometimes for the show.
Right, oh, yeah.
help us promote the tournament, which was great.
It was one of the things that he loved the best about his job was the week out, whether it was at Weathersfield or at Cromwell, and as we've said, we know he enjoyed his the friendship that he shared with you. Ted, thank you for a few minutes. I really appreciate it, and be well. Have a great holiday.
Thank you, guys.
Appreciate it.
Take care.
It's Ted May. He had a little hand surgery today. When I was trying to contact him, and yet he played with pain. We'll all be playing with pain next. We'll hear Chris Francis do the news, and then John Nobilski. Boy, will that bring up some stories here on this tribute to Arnold Dean on WTIC.
Season's greetings from WTIC.
The WTIC Holiday Stores to benefit the Salvation Army opens Friday through Christmas Eve. Go to WTIC.com for store hours, locations, and how you can help. Now, a WTIC news update.
56 degrees in Hartford at 7:30. I'm Chris Francis, WTIC 1080 News. A former fire chief in Manchester accused of falsifying documents to make his volunteer firefighters eligible for a tax abatement from the town. Paul Latrico turned himself in today on charges of larceny and false entry by a public official. An 81-year-old Weathersfield man who'd been missing since 8 this morning no longer is missing. State police canceling the silver alert for William Graver, said to be okay. Court appearance for the new Fairfield man accused of killing his wife Saturday night. Robert Bell told police she came at him with a knife before he shot her four times. Bail set at $750,000. Connecticut among six states winning federal approval for its plan to set up a health insurance exchange. It's expected to be in place for businesses and individuals to find affordable coverage next year. Expect painful budget cuts to be part of a plan to close the state budget gap. The word today from Governor Malloy as his administration starts talks with legislative leaders. President Obama says he won't compromise on higher tax rates for the wealthiest Americans during his negotiations with Republicans on ways to avert the so-called fiscal cliff. The Republican National Committee orders a political autopsy on the 2012 presidential election. The chairman is asking five respected party leaders to examine how the GOP can better talk with voters, raise money from donors, and learn from Democrats' tactics. The Dow gained 15 points today. The Nasdaq picked up 9. WTIC Fox Connecticut Weather Center forecast. Cloudy skies. Showers will diminish overnight with areas of fog and lows settling in the 40s. Lingering showers ending early tomorrow, becoming mostly sunny and breezy and colder with highs 41 to 46. Wednesday, sunny, seasonably cold with highs in the low 40s. 56, the Hartford temperature at 732. I'm Chris Francis, WTIC 1080 News.
Five people in the right places.
Right.
And I went to him and said, now let me explain. He said, I don't want to hear an explanation. He said, make it work, and if it doesn't, you're in trouble.
Okay,
but
and
said,
it worked.
It's yours.
How did you cover the action on the course? When did you actually begin covering?
We had
covering
to use walkie-talkies.
Really?
Yeah, and you'd hear the shh every time they went. We'd tell them, be sure to hold that key down until we take it
well,
back.
Well, we told
here.
Caton and Nobilski that, and they wouldn't do that when we had gotten to the advanced equipment.
Yep, we had problems with some of our non-radio people who covered the golf for us. None more so than the great John Nobilski, the head pro at Tallwood Country Club, who was a great friend of Arnold and is a great and dear friend of ours. First off, I don't know if you heard earlier, but Caton was saying he broke 90 at Pinehurst today.
I want to see the scorecard.
Yeah. No, you want to see the validation signature on it.
Before we get, guys, can you imagine, here's God greeting Arnold, opens the gates, and the first voice he hears is, Annie, what took you so long?
Exactly.
Going, oh, arms stretched out. How cool could that reunion be?
Oh, it'll be tremendous. John, talk about how Arnold recruited you to become part of the broadcast team.
You know, first off, what a great night. And, you know, Scott mentioned about the equipment. You know, that I just put a laugh to my face on that one. But the first time I met Arnold was I played at Weathersfield in the Sammy Davis back in 71, and I was still at Central. And that was my first official interview with Arnold Dean. And it was later on, I believe it was 79, when I was still working over at Farmington Woods Country Club, where he approached me and, you know, asked if I, you know, would join into the crowd. And that was the first one at Weathersfield Country Club that I started with you guys. And it was just, you know, it ended up being a family. Like you said, it was just those Saturday night parties were unbelievable, weren't they?
You know, John, we were talking off the air about if we could really tell all the stories about how much fun it was working the GHO/Travelers Championship, people would have a better understanding. But I think my favorite memory of you, and I'm wondering if you remember the moment, when I was interviewing Brad Faxon's father live from the 17th green, when Brad was when the year that Brad won the tournament. Do you remember that?
Oh, I sure do. But my favorite one is, like you said, there were so many of them, and you know, you mentioned Chuck Haight, and I remember like this happened yesterday. It had to be either 86 or 87. It was the old TPC layout where the 10th hole used to be the par 5 up by Corporate Row.
Yep.
And Chuck was covering, it was the last round, he was in the second to the last group, and a professional by the name of Gene Sowers was one shot behind the lead, and it was, you know, the guys were going into the back nine, and recall, we always used to have, you know, John on 7 or Chuck on whatever. Well, you know Chuck, he'd like to get that microphone going, so Arnold was interviewing the chief of police about the crowd control, how the crowds were so big. And I remember it was like, Chuck on 10. Arnold keeps talking with the traffic guy. Chuck on 10 with Sowers. Sowers with an eagle try. Sowers. Chuck on 10. Arnold keeps talking about the traffic. Well, apparently Sowers blasted out of the bunker into the hole to knock it in for an eagle to take the lead. Arnold's still talking with the chief of police. So finally he says, I think there's action back on... number 10, can we go to Chuck? And Chuck goes, you blew it.
Oh, God. Billy?
John, Bill Pierce, good to hear from you, and good to have some central representation again.
Yeah, I was just going to say, this is like blue down. And we have Coach Dietrich coming up at 7:55. So.
Exactly. And Bill Dietrich was there when my father was there. So it's a great thing. John, I've talked earlier in the show about how with Arnold, it was not just about work. It was you did things outside of work. And one of the days I can remember that was so enjoyable for me and for my father, we went out to your course and played a round of golf with Arnold and with his son Richie out there, and had one of the greatest days that we've had. And it was just, that's the kind of person Arnold was, that, you know, you could go outside of work, and here it is, you know, my father and Arnold and their two sons together for a day of golf. And we had just a great time.
Yeah. And I mean, I think some of you guys remember the parties my mom and dad used to put
yes,
in New Britain. And then, I think it was used to be Saturdays where they used to come with the kielbasa and the, horseradish and the rye bread, and you guys are just like waiting with your arms open for all this stuff, and you know, and just sitting listening to all this, it was like everyone in my family, you know, my wife Mary Ellen, my son Ryan, Mary Kate, my daughter, my nephews, everyone had to come by our station and say hi to Arnold.
Absolutely.
It was just every generation knew him, respected him, and that was part of the tradition. Stop by, you know, the TIC area, and say hi to Arnold.
And with Arnold, it wasn't he ever wanted to be the center of attention in anything, which was great. You know, he would divert to other people.
Yep. And it was just, you know, it became a family, and, you know, he was always the MC at my dad's memorial tournament, and that's the last time I had seen him. And he looked, like you guys said, he looked great, and, you know, I'd spoken to him over the phone in September, and, like I said, it was a shock, but I just keep going back. That reunion up there must be so special, because you know how, you know, he missed her, Helen, and how they loved each other so much.
Yeah, he's going to get to see your dad up there, too, and I was going to mention that. He emceed your golf tournament every year but one. I think it was last year I got to emcee it. But the importance to have him there, I mean, I know the relationship that you two developed over the years covering the golf tournament. He doesn't play, but to be able to get him involved in that golf tournament, I know is very important to you.
Oh, you remember, you know, Bob and even Joe, you played, and, you know, all those, you know, the guys we would get, you know, the Kevin Ollies, the, you know, the D. Rowe and Ben Wright, you know, who was so special to him, you know, they had to make their way into the clubhouse, you know, before they teed off to say hi to Arnold. And it was just, he brought a special moment to that tournament when he would get his voice starting the tournament. Everybody remembers that voice. It was just, you know, part of Connecticut golf and sports history.
Yeah, and
just the fact, you know, it was like being around a head of state, because people would come and they'd want to see Arnold. But it was funny. It wouldn't be a head of state because a lot of guys would have a line for Arnold, and Arnold would rapid fire right back at him.
That's right. And I mean, you know, so many stories we can't tell
right
on the air, but you remember Joe sitting next to him and the people that would come by our station and just, you know, wave to him, you know, from the window. And, you know, it was just like, I want to come inside and say hi to you. I want to come inside and say hi to you. But he would always, you know, walk out of that little booth onto those stairs and sign some autographs and, you know, just say hi to people.
Yeah, it was some of the best times that all of us have had in this business, visiting, spending that week in Cromwell. And a big part of that was because of you. John, thanks for taking some time to be with us tonight. It was an honor to have you in our midst to talk about a man who we all loved.
Well, he was family, and you know it, and you guys are too. So, enjoyed being with you, but like Ronnie said, I wish it was better circumstances, but, you know, he was a great, great guy.
Thanks, John. Thanks, appreciate John. It. John Nobilski from Tallwood Country Club, and he, you know, we got to get to break because we got Mark and Coach Dietrich coming up, but Nobilski fit right in. You couldn't tell that he wasn't a radio guy because he just fit right in with everything we did, both the positive and the negative.
And the negative, right. And he could give it back, too. He can dish it out.
All right, 7:41. That's Bill Pierce. Scott Gray is here. Bob Joyce is here. They'll be back bright and early in the morning. I'm Jody Ambrosio. Bright and early are never two words that are associated with me. Somebody who used to follow Arnold on the air here will be our next guest in our tribute to Arnold Dean at 7:41.
Social media can be a powerful communication tool. St. Germain Investment Management knows that. It can do a lot of things, but it cannot embrace you as an individual investor. For something as personal as your financial goals, St. Germain believes face-to-face conversation and interaction provides more value and control. Call 1-800-443-7624. St. Germain Investment Management, leading investors since 1924.
Getting gifts for the sports fan in your life has never been easier this holiday season thanks to CBS Local's Fan Shop. We've got the jerseys and gear for almost every team in any sport. And if you visit CBS Local's Fan Shop today through the end of the year and enter the promo code HOLIDAY10, you'll get an additional 10% off your purchase. Visit CBSLocalFanShop.com today and use the promo code HOLIDAY10 to save even more from CBS Local's Fan Shop.
Attention hip implant patients. Are you in constant pain? Have you received a letter from your doctor about your implant? Have you had or need a revision surgery? Do you have high levels of metal, chromium, or cobalt in your blood? Over 90,000 hip implant devices have been recalled due to defects and failures resulting in revision or replacement surgery. If you have a recalled hip implant, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Call 800-449-4269 to see if your implant is affected by the recalls. If you or a loved one has a defective or recalled hip implant, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Call 800-449-4269. That's 800-449-4269. Protect your legal rights today. Call 800-449-4269.
This is an advertisement, not valid in all states. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. iLawsuit.com is an advertising group that represents lawyers advertising their services and is a free matching service for consumers. It is not a law firm or lawyer referral service.
Radio.com. Download the new Radio.com app and listen to WTIC News Talk 1080 wherever you are. The Radio.com app is free and available on the Android market. For more info, go to Radio.com/mobile.
Radio.com. Al Nipper, as you know, has every book ever written on pitching.
Yeah.
And Al Nipper has probably less talent than any other Red Sox
pitcher. Well, by the way, he's feeling pretty good.
Yes.
And he's doing pretty good. He looked good the other day, and he said he's getting stronger every day.
That's right. And he knows the art. Yes, sir. Yeah, he played here in New Britain also.
Yeah, you bet.
One last question, Ted. That advice for the kids in the final minute. What should they do to improve their hitting?
Well, it all depends on the age bracket you're talking about. But let's say 12 years old. Should get a bat. And he should swing it and swing it and swing it and swing it in a different strike zone, strike area every time he swings it. And the big thing is he has to be quick and he has to get hips ahead of hands. Quickness, hips ahead of hands. Don't swing down.
Contrary to what some batting coaches will tell you in major league camps. Ted, thanks a million. I'll see you in Winter Haven next week. Thank you, George Gonzalez.
Arnold Dean with Ted Williams on WTIC Sports Talk. This is a tribute to the Dean, along with Bill Pierce, Scott Graham, Bob Joyce. I'm Jody Ambrosio. Kevin Victor is our producer. And for the longest time here at the 50,000-watt flamethrower, Arnold would turn the keys of the car over at 8 o'clock to a man named Mark Davis, who you now all know is the outstanding political reporter for WTNH News 8, and wouldn't be a show honoring Arnold if we didn't bring Mark on. Mark, we're so glad that you were able to join us tonight, and I'm sure there were some nights that you guys, like as we were talking about, had some terrific discussions with Arnold off air that never made it to the broadcast, to the airwaves.
Oh, yeah. He just was a wonderful man. It was so comforting just to sit here and listen to his voice and to hear him laughing again. But, you know, this is being a very, very tough month because I don't know if you've mentioned this, but Charlie Brown,
yep,
who sat in the control room and produced Arnold's show and my show for many years, just passed away a few weeks ago himself of a heart attack. And now to lose Arnold is really, really just devastating. He did something for me that it's, you know, I'm a Boston boy. You know, I everyone thinks I've been here forever, but it's only been 33 years since 1980. I had a fairly successful career in Boston in media and had been in the presence of Ted Williams and had seen him play, but it was Arnold Dean who introduced me to Ted Williams one night when he was on the show. It was just, it was quite a, and I met a lot of people, a lot of major sports celebrities that Arnold, that used to come to just to pay their homage to Arnold.
Well, that's true, Mark, and you know, this is Bill Pierce.
Hi,
and,
Bill.
Hi, how are you? And that's the thing about Arnold, when you traveled around or you talked to people on a national scale, whether it was news or especially sports, it is just amazing to me how many brought up the name Arnold Dean once they found out where you were from and where you worked. It seemed that everybody either knew him well or knew of him all over the country.
Well, anyone who knew him knew just what a wonderful fellow he was. The thing about it is, you know, it's always, people say nice things about people when they die, but you could have done this show a week ago or a month ago or 10 years ago, and everyone would have said the same thing, because he was just that sort of fellow. And also, such a wonderful broadcaster. He wasn't just a sportscaster. He was a great broadcaster. You know, I came from Boston, which was a great sports town, as you all know, and I had worked for CBS there when they owned the old WEEI. And they had a sports call-in show hosted by a fellow named Eddie Adelman. It was called Sports Huddle. And he was a gravelly-voiced sort of, you know, he wasn't a broadcaster. He was the kind of guy that would you'd hear yelling in the stand somewhere, you know. And it worked. It worked because, you know, he was different from everyone else. But Arnold was a real broadcaster and could do anything. He's sort of in the category with a Bob Costas or a Jim McKay, somebody who was a sportscaster by choice, but was a great broadcaster, just a naturally great broadcaster.
And Mark, it's Scott Gray.
Hi, Scott.
How you doing? You know, I remember when I first started working at WTIC, and
I do too.
Well, you should. You actually took me out to dinner my first night at WTIC before you went on the air. You may not remember that.
It was probably a trade.
No, I know. Who picked up the check. It wasn't you, Scott.
Terry Urey picked up the check.
I don't know if you remember from the paper chase. There's a great line when the law student finds his professor's own papers from his college days at Harvard, and he reads the line in there about going to Harvard Law. It is not easy being a living extension of history. And that was the feeling that I got. I remember that first night at my first day at WTIC was coming in and feeling that extension of history that you were, which was an extension of history that Arnold Dean had extended to you and Bob Steele to him. And there was always that kind of a feeling, and it always seemed to stem from the guys like Arnold Dean, that we all became an extension of that history.
Well, you know, I was back at the station a few years ago when they had the 75th anniversary show with Ray. And it was just Arnold and Bob Steele and me. And, I mean, it was just absolutely astounding to sit there with the two of them. And, excuse me, getting a little choked up here. Ray was just listening, and we were both looking at each other, just how great they really were. The both of them. They're in the same category.
And the thing, Mark, before we let you go, is that, you know, Arnold's style was so gentlemanly and just allowing the listeners the chance to talk.
Well, that was the contrast from when I had come from Boston.
Right.
What they were doing on the sports headlines.
Yeah.
They were yelling at each other and everything. I said, holy smokes, this is a whole different this is a whole different game here.
And you just worry about our side of the business, the radio side of the business, if that kind of person could get hired now to do that kind of show.
Yeah, well, I don't know. But, you know, I'm sitting here in my den, and I you will recall that I was doing both the television and the radio
right.
every day for a number of years and had to make the choice at one point and decided to give up the radio show. And that last night, I have it right here in front of me. Arnold gave me this candle that's in a jar, which I've never used, but he left a little note saying, I'm giving you this so that you'll remember not to burn the candle at both ends.
No, that's Arnold. That's Arnold to a T. Well, Mark, we certainly appreciate you coming on and sharing your memories from the days of Dial Mark Davis to your respected position now as one of the state's top journalists. Mark Davis from News Channel 8, thank you for sharing your memories, Mark. We really appreciate it.
Well, I'm honored and so delighted that you invited me.
Thank you, Mark Davis.
Mark.
And we go from Mark to, much like Arnold, another icon in the state, longtime head basketball coach at Central Connecticut State University, and much like D. Rowe, one of the truly great treasures of our state, head coach Bill Dietrich, coach Jody Ambrosio, Bill Pierce, Scott Gray, and Bob Joyce. It is an honor to talk to you tonight to talk about a guy who I know you had a lot of dealings with in your times in New Britain, Mr. Dean.
Joe, you know it's such a moving moment to be on the radio with you to speak about Arnold. You know how they say you can remember where you were when Pearl Harbor hit. And I can remember when I met Arnold, and I can remember when Howie came to me the other day, and we're in a setting going into a 17,000 stadium to see a game. And Coach Moore was the AD at Central. We're opening up the Kaiser Hall for our first game, and we wanted to make it a big attraction and have a professional announce our players and our and students see a person come in. So Dr. Moore hired Arnold Dean to be our announcer. And Joe Arnone and I met him at that time, and we've had a 47-year relationship of friendship, and he mentored Joe in to be the voice of CCSU. And I was at such a high, emotional high, watching Central play the number one team in the country, and I had to settle down and when Howie told me that and just think of all the things that we did together, whether it was meeting him in the West Side grocery store in Rocky Hill where he lived, or going on the cancer show with the Red Sox, or just thinking about the relationship that he had with the media and the sports. Nowadays, it's the media and the sports writers against the coaches. It just seems so incongruent for a guy like Arnold ever to do anything like that. And he bridged that gap. But also for your previous guest to mention Bob Steele, because I was high school coach and Bob Steele used to predict the tournament games and Bob Steele predicted Litchfield to lose in the first round and all it was Bob Steele. Then came Arnold Dean. What two greats to go into Connecticut and have us have sports people like that.
Coach Bill Pierce, a Central grad, and
guy, and your father was
he was there. Class of '52 was my father. In fact, yeah. I was born while he was going to college there, and you mentioned Arnold as far as you know being the PA announcer, and I mentioned that a little bit earlier in the show. At that time, it was great basketball. You coached some great basketball teams, but it didn't always get the kind of recognition that certainly it deserved. And someone like Arnold Dean coming on board and even doing that and mentioning it on the radio just brought more attention to the program, and certainly I think probably helped help the university and the program out.
Well, you know, Arnold Dean didn't forget he always had a warm place in his heart for Central. And it was so nice to have him come to our golf tournaments, come to our banquets, support us in every single way we could go. And, you know, we were just so lucky to start off with him, because sports in Connecticut really grew, well, he grew with it. And it's really a pretty big sports state right now.
Bill, Scott Gray, how you doing?
Oh, Scott, I'm doing
well, okay. I know. We're all doing as well as we can at the moment. Right. You know, you go back and you can really remember and relate to an earlier era in sports, and you've watched the eras change. And I think one of the amazing things, and Joe asked the question earlier when Mark Davis was on, you kind of wonder if a guy like Arnold Dean could get hired in the business today. Yet the amazing thing was about him was he really did transition through those eras in sports. And while it all changed around him, he never changed.
Well, I think if you're good at your craft, your skills will travel, whether you're a coach or whether you're a sports media person or whether you're a writer or whether you're a teacher. If you're really good, you don't have to tell anybody. Everyone knows it. And Arnold Dean was so good and such a good person. And I don't know how much time we got, but not hoping that I wouldn't ramble on. And
ramble away, Coach. That's why we're here.
I wrote something down that I'd like to read.
Oh, please, we'd be honored.
Then you could ask me any questions you want and do whatever you want. I hope I could do Arnold justice with the greats that you had speak about him all day long, and all the Jacobs articles were beautiful, and it's just such a great thing for you people to honor him this way. But I remember Arnold Dean as one of the first people doing sports talk shows in Connecticut. He was groundbreaking in the ability to captivate the audience and talk about Connecticut sports. He created a forum for the sports-minded talk shows. Arnold always had a balanced, reasoned approach to sports talk radio. He stated his opinion, but he always was excellent in listening to his audience. He allowed them the voice when he even disagreed with their opinion. I remember Arnold Dean as a wonderful advocate of sports for Connecticut. He often helped those in sports who needed the Arnold Dean time, an opportunity to put the spotlight to further someone's career, a highlight to help a new program, to mentor all young people that are in the profession that he's in. To me, Arnold Dean was a special person who was able to balance the role of talk show host with being a Connecticut sports fan. Arnold wanted everyone to win, because he had heart of a champion.
Coach, there's not much we can add to that. That's beautifully said, as always, and it wouldn't be a tribute to Arnold Dean if we didn't bring in someone who he had the greatest respect and admiration for, and that's you, Coach Bill Dietrich from Central Connecticut State University. Coach, thanks for gracing us with your presence tonight. We really appreciate it.
Joey, you and the guys, and Scott and Billy, I hear Billy, and I think about when he was a kid, and Scott, when we visited in East Hartford in the diner with many, many sports people and just batted it out and batted it around. And such a wonderful thing to have people like that in our sports arena.
Billy, we're still there. Tuesday mornings, the Willow Inn. The Willow Inn Hot Stove League lives on, Bill. You're welcome to join us anytime.
Well, I got some good stories there, and Ray was another great man.
Thanks, Coach. We appreciate it.
Yep. Bye-bye, guys.
7:57. Look at him remembering you from your undergraduate days 50 years ago. Come on, stop it.
What do you mean 50 years ago? My goodness.
60 years ago.
Wayne Norman, who's older than all of us, Joe Castiglione, and Kevin Nathan next hour as our tribute to the Dean continues on WTIC.